Welcome back to High Desert Bits, Central Oregon's theater podcast and calendar. I'm Anita Hoffman. Ben's Tower Theater opened in 1940 with its recognizable spire and bright lights, bringing movies, music, and theater to the mill town. Closed in the late 90s for renovations, the tower reopened in 2004 and set about trying to make a name for itself again. Ray Solly came on the scene in January 2009 as the executive director of the Tower Theater Foundation, determined to make the tower a community staple. Ray sat down with me to talk about the history of Ben Theater, his hopes for the future, and some of the things he's learned leading the tower the past 16 years. While Ray will retire at the end of the 2025 season, we'll be back to check in on him next year. Here's my chat with the Tower's executive director, Ray Solly. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so excited
thank
you're
you,
here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations on your upcoming retirement.
I know. Thank you.
How are you feeling now as you prepare for that next chapter?
I've never done this before.
Yeah.
So it's a different experience than going to another job.
Yeah.
It's a different experience than being in between jobs or mm-hmm. unemployed or looking
That's
for a job. So I'm adjusting to that. But it is a little weird. I've never been in the position of looking at resumes and applications for my job,
right.
for me to replace
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
But the good thing is not only is the board totally in sync with how to do this, and the staff seems very supportive and in sync with how to make the transition smooth. But there's also a sense that this is the right time mm-hmm. and it's the right move, both for me and for the company. And I just have to remember that whatever I've done here over all these years, that's been done, and whatever lessons have been learned have been learned.
Yeah.
And whatever habits have been established have been established, and they will continue mm-hmm. and new things will happen. And there will be some things people advise me that I will look at after it's over and after I'm out, and I'll go, why are they doing that? Don't they know about X, Y, Z? And then there'll be the other moment that I'm really looking forward to, which is, are you kidding me? The tower is going to do that? That yeah. is so awesome. Yeah. I would never have imagined to try yeah. to do that. And I think the other thing I'm learning is in this transition that whoever the new person is, and we do have several really great qualified people, even at this point, they have to find something that they can be passionate about and sink their teeth and their heart and their minds into the same way, because you don't want somebody who's just going to be worst case a caretaker.
Right.
You really want somebody who can bring their own ideas and freshness to it. And that's something that I've never been in that situation where what I'm really training other people, what I'm really setting up is a bit of a vacuum for somebody to come into
yeah.
as opposed to here's the book with everything you have to know. If you yep. simply follow this 3-ring binder or you
everything
follow this
fine, right?
follow this agenda, you'll be great.
Yeah.
And then if I were them, I would look at that and go, well, where's room for me?
Yeah. Right.
So it's making room right. and it's all and it's also sort of figuring out what is the next part of what I do.
Which is pretty exciting. It's a good space for you to be in. Tell me about how you found yourself here in Bend
yeah.
and at the Tower.
Before this job, I was the executive director of the Torrance Cultural Arts Center in Torrance, California. It's a foundation that fundraises and programmed for the Arts Center in Torrance, California. And went to a conference and was walking around the registration area, and there was a old-fashioned bulletin board, an old-fashioned job board,
yeah.
Where there was an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper stationery from the Tower Theater with a typed-out description of what the job was. And I sat there and I read it and I made some notes and thought, that's interesting. I'd heard of Bend a little bit because that was in 2008, and it was on a lot of top 10 lists because mm-hmm. of the real estate boom and the resurgency of the city at that point. And that was really cool. And I thought about it and then kind of put it on a back burner. And then through a series of very strange, almost providential happenings, including a wrong phone call. I took a phone call, and it was a board member at the Tower Theater Foundation in Bend who asked for this other person. And I said, well, that's another office.
Yeah.
Well, I'm calling about this job opening. I go, I know about that. I heard about that. I know that. I've been meaning to do that. I've been meaning to apply.
Yeah.
Well, you better hurry up because this is October and we're going to be making a decision here in the next couple of weeks, maybe less than that. And you better, if you want to do it, you better apply right away.
Yeah.
So I did. And it accelerated very quickly. And I probably was the last person they interviewed, which I guess theoretically, Anita, it's better to be either the very first or the very last.
Yeah. One or the other. Yeah.
So it was good. And then the family came up in December of 08. And then I started in basically January the 1st, 2009.
No way. Oh, that's awesome. You just moved here.
I was commuting. I was working 4 days a week in California and 4 days a week in Bend. And I would come up and do several a week of work almost, and then fly back and do a week of work down there.
Wow.
Yeah. And then that went all the way through April. And then we bought the house and the family moved and drove up in April of 09. And then shortly after that, the recession hit.
So, welcome.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, really. So what was Bend like back then? What was the theater scene like?
The theater scene was, as I think back on it, interesting in that it always seems to be evolving. That just seems to be the nature of Bend, that it's always developing and always changing. Yeah, and the theater scene at the time was, we were beginning to get some input from California and people moving here and that kind of thing because of the real estate boom. But what was really interesting was that you had CTC and had been there for decades and decades and doing well. And you had Second Street Theater, which I've forgotten when that started, but it had been around and it was very much the opposite of CTC in terms of some demographics and some content. And a different vibe in the building as well. And you had the Tower, which was searching for an identity and had just had reopened only, 4 or 5 years before that. And so it had gone through some growing pains. It was definitely going through some growing pains when I got here. And then you had the amphitheater, Les Schwab Amphitheater, which opened in 2002 and was going through several years of, well, what are we really going to do? How are we really going to do it? And around 2007 and 2008, a summer of eight, all of a sudden was getting some really big names and was getting, I remember walking into Bend and hearing all about, my God, Sheryl Crow was here and that opening act, Brandi Carlile, off the charts. It was amazing. I can't believe we saw that.
Yeah.
So there was a very much a sense of, whoa, we are beginning to be on the map when it comes to those kind of performing arts. And the drama and the comedy that was happening really was happening at two pretty well-established community theaters.
Yeah. What are some of the changes that you've seen over the years for the Tower specifically, and then the wider performing arts? Because we still have CTC.
Yeah.
Second Street's gone, but it's called Open Space now.
Right.
We've got the Tower, which is thriving. We've got a gigantic Hayden Holmes. What else has changed?
What's interesting to me is that initially, when I started at the Tower, one thing was what is it that the Tower can do that other people aren't doing? Mm-hmm. What can we bring into town that otherwise you wouldn't get if it weren't for us doing that as a Tower Foundation presented program? And there were lots of things that we had on the list. Obviously, educational programming, which evolved into Lesson Plan, which is a huge home run at this point, and continuing. But one thing that came up was the community was saying, folks in the artistic community going, We love musicals. The people love musicals. Mm-hmm. The patrons love musicals, but we can't do them. They're expensive. It's hard to stage. It's hard to cast. And there's a lot of musicians involved. And it gets really pricey really fast because of licensing and everything. Mm-hmm. And we realized, and CTC and Second Street were maybe doing one a year, maybe, right. You know. And then there was a thing called Cat Call Productions that started doing them pretty much exclusively, and they would come and rent the tower. And we thought, wow, why don't we help Cat Call make that a franchise? And we can really throw some money at it and some support at it, and it turns into an annual event for them and for us. Mm-hmm. And it's, and you know, next thing you know, we're doing live orchestras and live bands doing cabaret and doing the producers and then doing Avenue Q. And there were rotating producers that would come to us and pitch certain musical ideas and musical properties. And then it got to the point in the last couple of years where everybody's doing musicals, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing musicals at somewhere that's green, and they're doing musicals in the forest, and they're doing musicals at Drake Park, and everywhere you go, there's a musical. So we had to look at what we, and we went, that's great. We helped plant that seed, but now what else would we do? What is it that is not being done?
Right.
And I think that's the one thing. That question has been constant, but the answer has changed. And the answer, that answer will continue to change as Hayden Homes grows, as the community grows, mm-hmm. as our education and community engagement work grows. That will probably change to some degree with all of these independent production companies. What I love about it is they've all found a way to get their product seen and heard and out there without depending on an existing stage. They will make, they will literally make their stage. They will literally take the show someplace where they have to go. And personally, that wasn't, I don't recall that happening in the 09, 10, the teens, and certainly the recession hit that pretty hard and knocked a lot of those back. But now you've got these independent companies popping up and figuring out how they want to do it in ways that make sense for them, both professionally and personally. And that means more choice, and that means more options. And theoretically, that means more people performing. Mm-hmm. And it may be smaller audiences, but I think there's more of them.
Yes.
Yeah, and people agree. And people are selecting things that they love to go and see because it fits the kind of vibe that they want. It's not just one size fits all, or you only have two choices.
Yep.
And the other thing that's changed, I believe, in the last 15 years, is there was a time 15 years ago where you could look at a calendar and say, okay, everybody's going to have their own time to do their shows, and we're going to try not to step on each other too much. Mm-hmm. And we don't counter program, but we don't need to be eating up a lot of bandwidth if we all do everything at the same time.
Yeah.
Now you cannot find a day of the week, forget about a weekend, where there is something going, where there's multiple things going on within the greater Bend area. And now it's no longer just Bend city limits. What's happening at the Belfry is in Sisters is on our radar screen in Bend. And certainly what's happening at Hayden Homes is on our radar screen in Madras.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that there are more things and more options, and there's things popping up, and that there is something for everyone, as opposed to there's one place that offers everything you need. You can pretty much pick and choose, and hopefully there's crossover.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some big challenges that are going to face a community gem like the Tower for the future? Because I know we've talked about that you would love to have shows come in, load in, do a show, but you have over 200 performances here at the Tower. So where do you see the Tower's future?
It continues to somewhat surprise me, and certainly surprise a lot of staff, when people will say, what do you got going on there here? You know, if we're in the, if we're in the winter and they say, well, what do you got going on this spring? I'll go, you mean spring of 2026 or 27? Yeah. Because spring of 2025, that's been booked, that's booked for a while. Yeah. So it's, we are thankful and fortunate that we can have that kind of robust schedule. The limitations clearly are the number of people that you can hire to work on those things, the number of days in a, on a calendar, the number of days in a, you know, hours in a day. But that's riches, that's assets that we have to manage really, really well. Because I don't think there's any turning back from that and going back to, well, we've got, we're instead of 220 days a year, we're only open 155 days a year. I don't think that any of the community wants that. I think the community looks at the tower as a real essential asset and is always expecting it to be busy or something going on. Here's the irony. They always expect they can always get a ticket.
Yeah, that's true.
By just walking up and getting a ticket.
It should be easy.
And the tower has become an expected essential piece of the community. And to lots of the community, they cannot imagine it without the tower. Yeah. So we've gone from, we got to save the tower in 2004 and reopen it and figure out what it's going to be and what it, and how it's going to work and what's the business model. We've gone from that to, wow, I just moved here. I haven't been to the tower yet, but I see you're doing a ton of stuff. And I noticed you're having a an international guitar fest and you're bringing in Tommy Emmanuel and you've got Robert Cray coming in and wow, that this is a really cool thing. And it's so much better than a small club. And it's, they're not looking at it as, wow, thank goodness we saved that building. Now what, now what's going to happen in it? It's like, whoa, this is a part of the community. It's a part of the environment. It's as much a part of what we do as skiing and as going to High Desert Museum and going to Ben Film and going to the tower. That's just kind of what you do, or going to some of these great restaurants. So I think the challenge will be, what's the next iteration of that?
Yeah.
Because if we've gone from, in the space of two decades, we've gone from, it's brand new, we're reopening it. We aren't sure what's going to go in there, but it's really pretty, and you know, don't mess it up. You know?
Yeah.
When I got here, they didn't allow concessions, food and drink inside the theater because it was, you know, it was brand new carpet. Seats. Come on,
exactly.
To the fact of now, well, they do everything. I mean, there's always something going on, and the next iteration may well be, okay, how do you keep becoming and keep being essential to the community? But still changing and evolving with the community. You can't just say, well, we are the institution, or we are the tradition, or we are the old folks, or we have been here longer and we've always done it that way.
Yeah.
The next version may well be, how do we fill other needs that the community has that have evolved over the years? And how do we continue to be an interesting, vital, and continuing local element of the community? Because that is, in many ways, what sets the tower up as being special, is that it is an old building. It is a historic venue. It has had a lot of people, both local and national and international, on its stage. People have grown up here. Maybe even recently, they've been kids doing Nutcracker, and then they come back, and their school has a special screening of a movie on a weekend through our education programming and community engagement. And then they come see the Portland Cello Project, because the child has gotten older and now is taking up cello or something. Yeah. And now it becomes... Yeah. Not just a really good thing to do and keep kids busy and be a part of a family life, but now it's a part of aspirational living. Yep. and aspirational experiences. So I think it's hard to evolve when you know what you're doing works and it's, you've been doing it a while and it's successful.
Yeah.
Then you have to say, well, we have to keep pushing the boundaries and rolling a few dice, because stagnant and static is going to be a problem. But that doesn't mean we have to tear the building down and start from scratch, right, or we have to assume that the only way we're going to grow is to get a bigger footprint. There will be a way to expand our mission footprint, what we do and what we believe in, easier and faster and more effectively and cost effectively than to try to expand our physical footprint. We literally are a huge art institution with 60 some odd thousand people going through our doors every year in the middle of a block downtown that has no parking, limited access off an alley, no additional places to go or to expand, to have more production room, to have more storage, to have more VIP elements or a more seating. Right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And thank God the building was built incredibly well in 1940. So all we're really doing is, you know, fixing the inside and making sure it, you know, we know it's going to stand and withstand all kinds of things as long as we keep it up. But it is what it is. We're not going to be doing Broadway dramas in there. But on the other hand, we don't have to just say, well, we're just going to have open mic nights and have people, you know, pretend like it's a big coffee house and come in and just play what you want to play. There has to be more to it than that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hallowed ground. What are two things you love about the tower?
I love the fact that people think of it as their theater.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they think that, and a lot of it, and you live and breathe this, the volunteers are there and they take as ushers and as helpers and as assistants, and they take a real ownership in the place. Mm-hmm. And they should. They're the front lines. I always say the staff can do all we want to do and get everything ready. But when the time comes to open the doors, the front line is the box office and the ushers and the volunteers. And they're our front line of offense, not defense.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they take ownership, that our staff takes ownership, and that citizens, especially ones that have been here for other events, they will come and they will have their routine about what they want to do and how they want to, where they want to sit, and what they want to eat when they get here. And if they're brand new, they come in and go, wow, this is not a huge facility where I get lost and don't know where I am. All I got to do is ask somebody, which door do I go in? I read a sign and I'm there, and it's intimate and it's small and it feels like a community and it feels local. And we went through a period of calling it Ben's Living Room, which we moved away from a little bit after the pandemic, because after the pandemic, nobody wanted to be in a living room. But there is definitely a feeling of I belong here, or I am welcome here. And if I'm from out of town, wow, this, I'm going to go to that theater and see that show, because it's going to feel different than it would in any other venue in the area, in the region, in the country. And it will be high quality, you know. So that's one thing, that there's a real sense of it's our theater. And I think the other thing is that, and I love this from the first day that I actually came into the city for a job interview, and before even before the first day, Googling Bend and what is Bend, Oregon, and and you would see three images. The Old Mill Smokestacks, Mount Bachelor, the Tower Theater Spire.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is, I said to Michelle, my wife, when we first talked about making the move, you really have to admire a community that is willing to have a performing arts venue as one of their primary symbols.
Yeah.
And people identify with that. We've had stories after story of people taking a picture of our marquee to use on a note card or on a Christmas card. One guy, a realtor, who took a drawing of it and put his name on the spire instead of the word tower. and we went to him and said, if you really want to be a part of the tower, why don't you become a sponsor and you'll be a part of the tower every single time we open the doors.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's a sponsor and he's a member and he's doing all kinds of things. But the initial thing was, he said, well, I wanted to pick something that somehow said I was a part of the community.
Yeah.
And that works both ways. He became a part of the community and we became a part of his community. And that really is the fact that it is treated as an icon is great. It has to be a living and breathing facility and an icon.
All right. You have a magic wand or you win the lottery.
Right.
Mega bucks. You're you're feeling generous. You win. You win Powerball.
Okay.
What would you gift the future Bend Performing Arts community with your power? Michelle, you didn't tell Michelle that you won. You're going to be an angel donor with a mask.
Yeah. I think it would, if you just limited to the monetary gift with that wand or whatever, I think it would, you'd want to make it some kind of ongoing, sustaining gift that makes a difference, that really is large enough to impact something, as opposed to splitting it up into, well, this group gets 3,000, this group gets 5,000, this group gets, you know, whatever. And spreading it around is important if you did that. But most times when we apply for a grant and they try to please everybody who's applied, pretty much everybody who's applied walks away going, well, we didn't get what we wanted.
Right.
Which means they have to go back to the donor pool and raise the amount of money they didn't get for that particular project. And we tend to give money tends to be given to start new things.
Yeah.
Come up with a new idea. We'll give you new money.
Yeah.
Come up with a project. We'll find that. I would love to look around and at things that would be, that are ongoing, that need to go to the next level of operations. Maybe not that it needs a new building, a capital investment and those kind of things, but maybe needs a new approach or rethinking, or it needs to, how do you appeal to a different demographic, or how do you appeal to new people who've come to town? And we had this happen. People moved here during the pandemic. And we were closed. We closed four times and we opened five times. And they thought, oh yeah, there's that old movie theater downtown that shows old movies that I'm not really sure what goes on.
Yeah.
Well, that means you have to go back and remarket to people, because that's not the people that were here in 2004 that gave $4 million to renovate it because they loved it.
Right.
These are people going, well, what is it?
Yeah.
What's there to love? So that would be one thing, would be some kind of an ongoing endowment, an ongoing gift, an ongoing multiple year kind of an approach. And if it was started kicking something off, it's not just getting something going, it's sustaining it over the first couple of years. That a lot of theaters that start get money to start. So the idea of having that kind of fairy dust and angel money is not just, I think it's misplaced if it's just one point in time. I think it has to be going on over several years and be able to be used in the future. Now, I have to answer, if it wasn't money,
ooh, okay.
If it was a magic wand that you could just say, poof, this is how you're going to think. This is how you're going to believe, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it would be some kind of mental tutorial that would change people's minds a little bit about the business of performing arts. And it would be, you got to be passionate and you got to do what you're called to do and you got to do what you love doing. But that doesn't automatically mean that people will show up, and it doesn't automatically mean that people will give you money just because you think it's a good idea. And that the idea of art for art's sake is really important to artists, but we've all got to understand that arts for art's sake is not a business model.
Right.
And nonprofit is not really a business model. It's a tax category. So I get really perturbed when someone says, well, you know, build it and they will come, or let's just do this and we'll figure out the finances later, or don't worry, we'll probably get a grant. I don't want to stop things because it doesn't pencil out or there's no some kind of bottom line, mm-hmm. but there has to be some part of the process if you want the art to survive that says we're going to meet a need, and the need that it meets may even have some financial ramifications and some revenue coming in, and that we're doing something of value. So therefore, just making it free is not the best message to send.
Right.
Making it accessible, making it friendly, making it available, making it meet a need, those are all very valuable things. And people perceive it, certainly now, they perceive if it has value, there's probably going to be a little bit of money that I'm going to have to pay to get it.
Yeah.
If it's within my reach, I will do that because it's important to me. Either it's a destination, a show I really want to see, or it's an event I really want to go to and don't want to miss, or I really feel like it's important to have that happening in my community. People will find a way to support that. That, and simply to say that it's free and it's whatever you know, if just to make it free is not necessarily defining it. That doesn't define it as good right. or valuable.
Right.
So I often wonder how to say that and how to embody that and how to make that a working principle without alienating any kind of artists or alienating any kind of business people or stopping the progress of a good idea. No, you can't do that because it doesn't make money. No.
Yeah, right.
You shouldn't be doing that if it's not a good idea.
Right.
And part of what it's a good idea is how can it be, how can it attract people? How can it be sustainable? And how can it meet a need in the community? The glory of the nonprofit model is that we have a mission and we have a variety of revenue streams in addition to ticket prices and right. concessions and those things.
Right.
So we can go to people and say, if you believe like us in this mission and the power of arts, be a member, be a donor, be a sponsor.
Yep.
That is important to me. I think a nonprofit model is important to keep and keep going with and to pursue. And there is a value that people place on these things. You just have to figure that out or work with them to get them to verbalize that and to codify that with a check or a donation.
Yeah.
So that's the second thing. That's kind of a mental attitude that it's not just about the artist. Arts are not just about the artist.
Right.
The arts are about, and the performing arts are about, about the community. And it's, you better take care of the
basic needs. Yeah.
Maslow's hierarchy,
yep.
Take care of those things. And then the arts will help you take care of what makes that life you now have worth living.
Yeah.
First ones will make it able to live.
Yeah.
And then you'll figure out with other ways what makes it worth living. And that's where I think we have to, as performing arts folks, find a piece of land and plant the flag.
Yeah. That's great. That's a good use of your fairy dust or your lottery winnings. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. I so appreciate you giving me some time.
Thank you. I'm thrilled at what you're doing with this idea and what you've done for us.
Thanks for listening. You can always find more Bits content at our website, highdesertbits.com. Also, the home of the Bits calendar, keeping you up to date on all the shows, auditions, and activities happening in Central Oregon Theater. Get out and do your Bits.